The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
No peace for you, Thomas. That's what happens when you aren't where 2 or 3 or 10 are gathered together in the presence of Jesus. No peace for you. See what happens when you miss church. You miss out on all the gifts, all the blessings Jesus brings. No peace for you. That sounds a bit harsh, doesn't it? After all, Jesus doesn't say, "No peace for you, Thomas." Yet that is what happened. For 8 long days, Thomas had no peace. Because he was absent when the disciples were gathered together on the evening of that first Easter, he missed out on what all of them received. There was no, "He is risen indeed, alleluia," for Thomas. When the others said, "Christ has risen," his response was, "No, I don't think so. Are you crazy?" He didn't have peace that week. He didn't believe his Savior had risen. He remained in his sins. Don't miss the significance of what Thomas said when the others told him about Jesus' appearance to them. And what he had said to them. Thomas gave God an ultimatum. "I will never believe," he said, "unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." That's a dangerous business. Putting the Lord your God to the test. Now, to be fair, the other 10 hadn't earned any commendation by their behavior. Despite the women's testimony earlier in the day, they had remained just as unbelieving concerning Jesus' resurrection as Thomas. The angel message that Jesus had risen, Jesus' own appearance and instruction, these women had conveyed to the disciples, but they had dismissed what the women had said to them as lunacy. They disbelieved the good news the women shared. They feared the Jewish leaders. They had gathered behind locked doors for a reason. They weren't waiting for their risen Lord to make an appearance. They were dreading the tramp of soldiers' boots, the pounding on the door, and the splintering of the wood as it was broken in, and they were arrested, or perhaps killed resisting arrest. As far as they were concerned, their Lord was dead, and they were afraid that they would be next. It wasn't in faith and hope that the disciples had gathered. But then suddenly, not hindered by those locked doors, Jesus came and stood among them. No doubt they were startled at his sudden appearance and terrified as well. Was this a ghost? Was it really Jesus? And if it was, what were they to do? They had broken their promise, had abandoned him in fear. And they hadn't believed the women. They were faithless, denying, doubting failures. They had reason to fear Jesus' wrath. But he said to them, "Peace to you." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then John writes, "Then they were glad. His hands and his side assured them. This was their Lord. He had died, and now he had risen from the dead just as he said he would. And his words to them, 'Peace to you,' were precious absolution. He was forgiving them. From his lips, 'Peace to you,' was not simply a conventional greeting, nor even a very gracious wish. When he speaks, his speaking causes what he says to come into being. Theologians call this a performative word. This, after all, is the same one who in the beginning said, 'Let there be,' and there was, who commanded the wind and the waves, 'Peace, be still,' and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. When Jesus speaks, what he says occurs. His words to his disciples, 'Peace to you,' give them the peace he speaks. Why did Jesus absolve them? Why did he give them peace? It wasn't because they deserved it. It certainly wasn't because of their faith. His words didn't respond to faith. They created it. He absolved them and gave them peace because this is why he had come. Why he had been born. Why he had fasted in the desert. Why he had fought the devil. Why he had taught. Why he had come to Jerusalem. Why he had instituted the Holy Supper, why he died on the cross, and why he rose again. All of this so that he could say to undeserving sinners, 'Peace to you.' That's why, as he continued, he repeated the precious words, 'Peace to you,' and went on, 'As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you.' And as he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld.' He came to them that day to forgive them and to commission them, to send them out with divine authority to forgive others, to bless others with that same peace that he had just given them. He does it still today, as in his stead and by his command, the successors of the apostles in the holy ministry forgive you your sins In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Note well the authority Jesus gives. If you forgive the sins of anyone, he tells the man who had failed him, who had been unfaithful and unbelieving, men whom he has now forgiven. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. This means that the absolution you receive is just as valid and certain in heaven itself as if you had heard it from the very lips of Jesus. The forgiveness I give you as your pastor isn't my forgiveness. It's Christ's forgiveness. Through my mouth and using my lips, Jesus says to you, "Peace to you." That's why he established the office of the Holy Ministry, in order to give to you and convey to you his own forgiveness, paid for on the cross. That's what pastors are to do, not just in response to formal confession, but in preaching and teaching and visiting and meeting, to bring the precious peace that comes to sinners through forgiveness. The other disciples tried to do that for Thomas, but he wasn't having any of it. What they said, even though they spoke with Christ's own authority, wasn't going to convince him. So Jesus had shown them his hands and his sides, had he? Well, Thomas said, he would do a proper inspection. His fingers would have to go into the holes the nails had left. His hand would have to go into the hole the spear had left in Jesus' side. Then, and only then, would he believe that Jesus was alive again. And so Thomas lived for a week without peace, without faith, still in his sin. At the end of that week, though, despite his adamant unbelief, Thomas was with the other disciples when, although the doors were locked, Jesus once again came and stood among them and said, "Peace to you." And then he singled out Thomas, not to criticize or condemn him, but to bring him also from disbelief to belief. I imagine Jesus shaking his head and saying, "Thomas, Thomas, why are you so foolish of heart and slow to believe? You're only hurting yourself. But I love you and I don't want you lost to me. So here, put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." What mercy and love. Jesus doesn't owe Thomas anything. He could have left him alone, left him to have what he deserved because he refused to trust the one who had died for him and risen again. But Jesus loves you even when you're foolish and unbelieving. So he pursues you even then, calls you and forgives you and restores you. We don't know whether Thomas actually manipulated the wounds in Jesus' hands and side, or whether Jesus' mere invitation to do so was enough. What we do know is that Thomas believed and received the peace Jesus had won for him by his death and resurrection, peace that Jesus delivered to him personally with the word, "Peace to you." Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." Today, your crucified and risen Lord comes also to you in his word, saying, "Peace to you. I have won peace for you by my death for your sins. The fact that I've risen is proof that it's true, that my sacrifice was sufficient
and has been accepted by my Father. In me, trusting in me, there is no condemnation for you. I have taken your sin and guilt and punishment away. You have peace with God through the forgiveness of sins. Blessed are you, for though your eyes have not seen me, yet you have believed. Believe that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, your Savior. Believing, you have life in my name. You will not perish, but live and rejoice in my presence forever. These words of Jesus to you are blessedly true. Peace to you, he says. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.